Hi, I'm Dr. David Rubin. I'm a general pediatrician and the director of Policy Lab at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. I'm going to talk to you today about a recent report that was released with myself and my colleagues at the American Academy of Pediatrics on the needs of families and children who are being raised in kinship care. When I talk about kinship care, I'm usually talking about grandparents or relatives who are raising children. And although we probably all know someone who's being raised, a child who's been raised by their grandparents or their aunt or their uncle, what many may not know is just how quickly that population has been growing in recent years. By 2013, there were about 7.8 million children, or 1 in 10 of every children in the United States, who were being raised in a household where the head of the household was a grandparent or another relative. There were at least 2.7 million children whose caregiver was identified as not being a biologic parent. That was 2013, and I can only imagine how much these families have grown since then. So that begs the question, if there's so many families living in kinship care, are we sure that we're providing the most effective care for these families? My concern is that when we see a family in our practices, we often don't ask who the person is who's sitting across from them. We assume it's their biologic parent. But these data would suggest that we can no longer make that assumption. The reasons for the growth in kinship care are multifactorial, but a lot of the societal pressures, and particularly challenges around substance abuse and mental health issues in families, and particularly issues around poverty, have created a lot of pressure that we saw begin with the growth in single-parent families back in the late 90s and early 2000s, and have since grown now to include sort of the absence of a biologic parent and the growth of and the recognition that relatives and grandparents might be our best chance to provide a home for many children who otherwise might be displaced or placed into foster care. Most of these families actually sort of reach these arrangements outside the child welfare system. We might think that there are some children who are being raised in kinship care, and there are, through the foster care system in the United States, but the overwhelming majority of children being raised by their relatives are being raised in situations that have been negotiated within the family or following the loss of a parent, for example. And so we can't assume as providers, particularly in healthcare, that the needs of these families are being addressed just by a child welfare system, for example. We can't assume that the children have an effective advocate, if you will, for ensuring that they have good health insurance coverage, or that even their caregivers have effective health care coverage, because compared to those families who are providing their kinship care through the child welfare system, or to foster parents in general, grandparents and relatives who take care of children outside of the child welfare system are known to be at much higher risk for poverty, have many more health needs than the other foster parents. In other words, they step up despite the many challenges that they're facing in their own lives. So what does that mean for us as healthcare providers? Well, number one, I think we have to make the assumption that that not every person who's sitting in front of us with a child in our offices is a biologic parent. So just the simple asking of, who are you? Are you the parent? That's a question we rarely ask, but we probably should be asking of our families, because to open that door allows one to be a more effective advocate for our patients. And why is that? Well, number one, we can ensure that that child has effective access to health insurance coverage and that they're not at risk of losing that coverage because they're being raised in the absence of their biologic caregivers. If we have social work teams that are available to us, we might have social work really do a screening and a needs and an assets assessment with the family to ensure that the caregiver does not have needs and financial needs that are not being met. Remember that those foster parents who provide services through the child welfare system often receive a stipend to help do that. Most kinship families don't receive that stipend. And so addressing issues in terms of food insecurity, right, housing insecurity, mental health needs of both the child and the caregiver, these become even more highlighted in the situation when you're your working with the kinship family, and also the advocacy with respect to the school district. Does that child have a higher risk for learning disabilities? Who helps advocate for that child on behalf of that child with respect to an individualized education plan within the school district? By asking that simple question of who are you, you can unlock a door to really impacting a family that you would not have unlocked had you not asked that question to begin with. So I'm glad to share with you the story and about kinship families today, and I would encourage you to reach out to the American Academy of Pediatrics to read our statement on the needs of kinship families. And I'd also encourage you to visit our website, policylab.chop.edu, where you can find those resources as well. Thank you.